The Bruise, written and read by Marilyn Bosquin. Grandma glanced at the mantel clock on top of the television every time the cuckoo clock in the kitchen called, "Cuckoo!" I begged to wait up. "Yeah, Shotzi, just a while longer." She always calls me Shotzi, her darling. Curled beside her on the sofa, I played with her fleshy upper arm. It was my security blanket, Grandma's arm, and I needed it like Kietlado while she taught me German words. Guten Morgen, Gute Nacht, Schlafen, Auf Wiedersehen, and darned Bapa's brown socks with silky yellow thread, a thimble protecting her thumb. Bapa's supper, a slab of ham, a crusty hunk of buttered rye, paper-thin cucumbers swimming in vinegar, waited on a plate covered with wax paper on the kitchen table in the dark. I knew without her telling me in English or German that Bapa had stopped at the dim, smoky bar where the nice bartender called Frankie once put two cherries and a paper umbrella into my Shirley Temple. Just as I knew without Bapa telling me that I was not to tell Grandma about the cherries or the Shirley Temple. Not that there was a law against granddaughters sitting on bar stools next to their grandfathers in the Bronx in the 1970s. But Grandma would have seen a Shirley Temple as spoiling my appetite, not to mention a waste of good money. It was a swivel bar stool. A 9-year-old girl could spin herself dizzy on that stool, sipping a Shirley Temple and chewing on the ends of her hair, while grown men raised their steins and shouted, "Prost!" My eyes grew heavy, but I fought sleep, repeating after Grandma, "Schlafen, sleep. Guten Morgen, good morning. Gute Nacht, good night." My speech grew slurry, and I dozed against my will, her fat arm pillowing my head. When the cuckoo called 9:30, she roused me and walked me into the kitchen, past Papa's plate on the table, up the creaky stairs, across the upstairs landing, and tucked me into the twin bed separated from hers by a nightstand. She brushed my bangs from my forehead with her fingertips and kissed me goodnight. "Gute Nacht und schlaf gut, Schatzi." Good night and sleep well, sweetheart. Now it is morning, and I am ready to shout "Guten Morgen" from the upstairs landing, where I am standing, overlooking the shingled roof of the cuckoo clock, which hangs on the wall below me, directly above the sauce and pfeffer shakers at the end of the table. Bapa's chair is pushed out. A plate with kietla crumbs and an empty coffee mug are on the table. He always leaves for the butcher shop before I wake up. At the far end of the kitchen, Grandma is standing at the sink in her housecoat with the bluish-green swirls, her back moving to the circular motion of the dish rag. Morning light comes through the window above the sink. She is humming, as usual, but she does not realize I am standing here, which is unusual because normally she spies me with the eyes in the back of her head. I balloon with an idea. I tell myself as I tiptoe down the stairs, careful to daddy long-legged over the creaky fifth step, smiling to myself on the bottom step, bursting with glee, shh, as I slink past the table, across the carpet, to the linoleum. "Guten Morgen, Grandma!" Her elbow grazes my chest when she jumps. The sleeve of her housecoat shivers. "Mein Gott, Schatzi!" She pounds her chest, and I see on her upper arm a purple bruise, the largest bruise I have ever seen, a purple-blue-black bruise seeping into the dark cavern of her sleeve. She reaches for my cheek, which she pinches every morning, but I back up. "Grandma," my voice a whisper, "what happened?" Her hand drops. Her eyes flash. She looks directly into me and says, "Your grandfather did that to me." Each word slow, pointed, pronounced. "Bapa?" Bapa was the one who gave us piggyback rides and slipped us silly putty and dollar bills behind Grandma's back. Grandma made us eat our carrots and make our beds and brush our teeth. She was the one who spanked us with the Coke Leffel, the wooden spoon. Bapa never hit us. He hid narrow boxes of chocolates with raspberry liqueur centers behind the mason jars on the top shelf of our pantry in Pennsylvania and brought them out when Grandma was napping. "Shh," he would say, holding a thick, nicked finger with scars to his lips. "Don't squeal." He told us stories about growing up in Germany, stories that roped hunger with laughter as if starving were a punchline. He fed Pierre, the poodle, thick slices of bologna, salami, head cheese, and liverwurst under the table when Grandma wasn't looking. If a stranger looked hungry, he offered a ham or a box of frankfurters, stuffed dollars into their pockets, and waved off Grandma's protest that he would give away their last dime. The blue-black bruise blots the entire underside of her upper arm like a tattoo gone horribly wrong. Spilled ink that has no boundaries, no form, no shape. A color so lurid it doesn't look real. I cannot believe what I am seeing. Once, years earlier, when I was 3, a wave swept me off my feet on the Jersey shore, pulled me underwater, tumbled me into a dark void where time expanded without boundaries. Eternity. Sand bit my skin. Salt water rushed my nose, my bones crunched. How many seconds elapsed before my dad scooped me from the surf? 1, 2. Yet I was irrevocably changed by a new knowing. Danger lurked beneath the surface. The ocean's foamy ruffle tickling my ankles was not the whole story. Your grandfather did that to me. I am spellbound by the look in Grandma's eyes. Time stops. My mind whirls like I am on a swivel stool, sugar rushing my brain, yet my feet are glued to the linoleum, my body petrified. Her brown eyes swirl with raging stillness, a deep, foamy calm. It's as if she is at once confiding in me and daring me. Daring me to what? I am not supposed to see this. I am a 9-year-old girl wearing her cousin's hand-me-down shorts and a pair of Carter's underpants, the blue writing on the tag faded by washings, the cotton crotch not yet stained by menstrual blood. The bruise, I know without being told, holds a secret. The bruise itself is one thing. There it is, plain as day. But the look in Grandma's eyes? Forbidden. Somehow, I know this. Verboten. Grandma wipes her soapy hands on her housecoat, and she pinches my cheeks, biting her lower lip against the tidal wave of love she feels for me. The look in her eyes is gone. Vamoose. Her dangly gold earrings, which come from Germany, glint in the morning light. The linoleum, shiny as a new plate, is cool beneath my bare feet. The kitchen smells of Murphy oil soap. The pine cupboards glow yellow as warm butter. Does it hurt, Grandma? Instinctively, I reach for her arm. I want to touch the bruise with my fingertips, soothe it, the way a mother kisses a boo-boo. But she bustles past me to the stove, removes the boiled eggs from the burner. "Yeah, Shotzi, of course it hurts." She's busy now, as if nothing has changed, moving to the sink, pot in hand, draining the egg water. But the bruise. I can see the bruise. No, I can feel the bruise deep in my own self, internal bleeding that will take me decades to locate. "Didn't you hear us, Shotzi? I'm surprised we didn't wake you." "Yeah," she laughs. "We fought loud enough to wake the dead. Now, gut geschlafen?" "Did you sleep well?" "Yeah," I say, grasping for German. "Und you?" The bruise will fade during my visit from purple-black to blue-green to yellow-brown. Even so, it will put an abrupt end to my childhood habit of kneading Grandma's arm like kietle dough. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye. Outside her kitchen in the Bronx, Grandma grew a raspberry bush tied to a chain-link fence. As the cuckoo began its 8 o'clock call, cuckoo, cuckoo, she handed me a plastic margarine bowl and told me to pick the ripest berries, Shotzi, the ones that pull away without a fight. I loved picking raspberries, discerning the ripe ones from the hard pink ones that needed more time to sun on the vine. This morning the bush was heavy with ruby berries. I picked them slowly, tenderly, so as not to bruise them with my thumb, starting low, then rising on my tiptoes to reach the highest ones. Grandma and I sat next to each other at the table, across from Papa's empty chair, our elbows touching, and ate the bowlful, one by one, the ripe heat of August bursting our tongues.